from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we bring on tech reporter Mike Dubusky here with us on WBEN for a look at the tech world. Mike, thanks for being with us this morning. The big story, X, formerly Twitter, gone from Brazil. A big feud between the Brazilian regime, Elon Musk, and now you cannot go on X. If you do, you try to, you'll be hit with a heavy fine if you live in Brazil. What's happening?
Yeah, so to explain, we've got to go back to Friday, and that's when a Brazilian Supreme Court justice ordered that country's telecoms agency to block access to X. And he also gave Apple and Google a deadline to take the app off their app stores. You mentioned the fine there. There are some questions about how they can enforce that particular fine and the legality of it. But suffice it to say, guys, Brazil is cracking down in a big way on X. And this all goes back to a group of accounts on X that the Brazilian government once banned. Primarily, those accounts are from far-right figures, pundits, and lawmakers who have violated Brazil's laws on hate speech and political misinformation and election denialism and that type of thing. These are accounts that were previously banned, but then were unbanned under Elon Musk's tenure at the company. And Musk has long made a lot of noise about X being this free speech haven where you can say whatever you want and ideas can collide and you can have a productive discussion. He is refusing to take these accounts down. And as a result, his own company has been banned in this enormous market. About 10% of Brazil's population is said to use X. That equates to about 20 million people, guys.
It makes me think of TikTok. And if the U.S. were to ban TikTok, would it be similar to what Brazil just did with X?
So this, there are certainly similarities, right? And there are similar questions about exactly how, you know, that will be enforced and how you can get around that. Again, if you use a virtual private network, you can kind of circumvent some of the internet providers that are out there. But again, Brazil seems to want to levy this fine against people who do that. Another good example here is Telegram, right? Last week, we saw Pavel Durov, who is the CEO of this very prominent messaging company, messaging app. He was arrested in France because his company hosted illegal material, right? Things like child sexual abuse material, money laundering and fraud and that type of thing. What we're learning is that these companies and these executives need to abide by the laws of the country that they operate in. And for the most part, X has done that, with the exception of certain countries like Brazil, where they have decided to take this political stand. But if you look at, for example, India, that country's government requested X block certain accounts earlier this year. X complied. In Turkey, the Turkish government requested the restriction of certain content on X, and they complied. So I think it's safe to say that, X, while it does seem to have this ideology of being a free speech platform, that ideology is sort of spottily enforced, or at least inconsistently enforced.
It really kind of brings up this notion of, so many people say, whether it's X, Twitter, TikTok, anything like that, it's so horrible there. We should just get rid of it. It would be better if it was banned entirely. But then push comes to shove, like when it actually happens, I think a lot of people look at it and say, ooh, that doesn't seem right. Like the government's just saying I can't post things online. I can't tweet things. That's not right either.
Sure. And the question becomes, and this is a question that dogs content moderation experts for a long time, really since social media's inception, is that where do you draw the line, right? Of course, you want fruitful discussion on your platform. But once it sort of skews into political misinformation, well, then there's a sort of active interest in taking some of that content down. Brazil in 2022 dealt with political misinformation in an enormous way. And this particular judge was actually appointed to crack down on that. This is kind of his job, his focus, and that's why these two men have been feuding for years now at this point. In 2022, supporters of the former president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, stormed the country's Capitol building because they thought that he was unfairly, that the election was being stolen from them, in images that conjured up thoughts of January 6th. So, you know, this is a really thorny political issue that Musk has mired himself in, it seems like, by not taking these accounts down. And these are the accounts that, you know, kind of foisted that information onto their followers. So, yeah, it's tough. It's a tough decision to make, and it's a decision that a lot of companies grapple with. You know, with the rollback of content moderation guidelines, X really does seem to be, you know, under the microscope more than others do.
With AI basically everywhere, you just got an inside look at a data center where it's processed. What's that like?
Yeah, so we often think of our apps and our websites as being something that exists purely in cyberspace, right? Just out there in the cloud somewhere. Well, a lot of those apps and websites have a physical home, and that's what a data center is. I got a chance to visit one last week in Orangeburg, New York. It's about 30 minutes north of New York City by car. And this is like an Amazon warehouse-sized building. It's still under construction, this particular one. But when it's done, it's going to be enormous. Four different rooms, 20,000 square feet each. And when it's completed, they're going to be full of computers and computer servers. Who owns those computers? Could be anybody. It could be Apple, Google, a major artificial intelligence company, I was told, or third-party startups, little guys who kind of just need a little extra computing power or can't afford to spin up their own, you know, server room in their own buildings. That's what a data center is for. They're these kind of this kind of middle ground between, you know, the company itself, the headquarters, like an Apple, and the end user, us, people who use their products. And these are becoming increasingly important because of the rise of compute-heavy technology. Things like artificial intelligence requires a lot of power to spin up and run. It behooves artificial intelligence companies to offload some of that computing power to a specialized building that is built to do that and to never go offline. A lot of the conversations I had at this data center were centered around things like security, making sure nobody gets in, and making sure that there's no interruption for power in the event of a natural disaster or a power outage or something like that. A really fascinating piece of infrastructure that you might not think about every day.
Okay. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. Mike Tobuski, tech reporter, with us live here in the Trocare College.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.